I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, the UK Bills podcast, joined as always by Robin and Mark, discussing and reviewing Bills news and games with a UK twist. And we've gone from snow joke to a joke, or not. Oh, I didn't know.
We've been rehearsing these snow puns for
I've been trying to rehearse them, because I know how much you love them, but
yeah. I had to dig their way out of a two-game slump, as well as digging their driveways to get to the airport.
But no, I think that was bad.
It's a good job you practiced these, lads, I've got to be honest.
Yeah.
They'd be terrible if you hadn't.
I know. I'm actually just winding them up. I'm rolling in the white stuff. That didn't sound right.
No, that sounded like a drug or something.
Yeah. Well, your cocaine usage is through the roof.
But there's no business like snow business.
Oh, in perfect.
Regard to Deion Dawkins here.
Very good. Do we have a game on like yesterday?
Yeah. Please, yes, go on, let's talk about that.
It was actually part one of a doubleheader at the same stadium for the Bills.
Yes.
So, Detroit, our home game. I hope the tables didn't get broken, because I love that message that the Lions put on their Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Turn the lights out.
Lock up before you leave.
Here's the numbers. Yeah. Don't break any tables. But seriously, could we have seen a different result if they did stay in the snow?
It could probably be a lot lower scoring if they'd had to play it in 6 foot of snow. Yeah,
yeah.
Might have been a 3-2 like we were talking about last week.
I think that there is, judging by some of the images that came out from the stadium, you couldn't have possibly played done any kind of activity, let alone play a sporting fixture in those conditions, yeah. When you couldn't see the bottom 6 feet of the goalpost. If anything, it was a bit interesting because you get to see what the Bills might be like if you play in a dome. It's always semi interesting to see.
Yeah.
I like the weather kind of, in air quotes, advantage that it gives us, because, you know, it's at least we're used to it when other teams come to play in Buffalo, but from my point of view, it was nice not having any snow there at all.
Yeah, I'm flat out not in favour of having 32 domes, which people have suggested.
No, not at all.
I like the fact that there's a variety, that sometimes you get cold games and windy games and rainy games and that sort of thing. But if it means not having one of those ridiculous things, and then knowing you can't postpone the Sunday game because we're already committed to playing on the Thursday, yeah, just one of these things happen. It means we get to play in the dome. Yeah, fine by me.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, what were your initial thoughts? So, we go, obviously, in the end, it turned out to be a comfortable win, even though they did have two garbage time scores against us.
And a minor panic of an onside kick as well with a Gabe Davis semi-mark.
God, my ass fell through the floor.
Just for half a second, it was...
How close was their cornerback to getting that? It was...
It was in his hands.
Popped
out again.
And so many, you know, a lot was made of... Gabe Davis has been a little bit droppy recently. He's not been the most secure, so there was a lot made on Twitter of Gabe Davis being on the hands team, which is what they refer to as the people who come to collect those little kicks. So the fact that he was there, don't suppose he'll be there for any more that kind of thing, because that was a horrible moment.
I mean, what were your emotions? I mean, obviously, we're still trying to figure out this team after their two defeats and how they've performed, especially on offense. Yeah. I mean, that first quarter and a bit, or even the first half, pretty much. I think we only had like 50 total yards, like within a quarter and a half, two quarters.
You do, and I know making allowances is often a synonym for making excuses, but you do have a team that was half the guys were reporting for illness on the Wednesday. They ended up having to do a virtual walkthrough, which doesn't even count, a virtual practice, which I don't think is anything at all. They still had, you know, 3-4 serious guys of the defense out. They were debating whether they're even going to play the game on Sunday, whether it was going to be postponed, and they pull it on the Friday. They'd have to spend Saturday like digging all the cars out, and, you know, fantastic for all the neighbors and, you know, and all of that to get to the airport to play in an unfamiliar stadium. The fact the game got played at all and they had a first quarter that was ropey, tough to read in whether that's a sign of their struggles or a sign of the team that was having to make do with what they had. What they needed was a spark to get things going. And once they got the spark, they looked like the Bills of old. I will say, certainly in the first quarter, Josh Allen, yeah, he was off, but he also looked muzzled as well. He looked like someone who'd been given a proper ass-kicking. I'm guessing by his head coach, Sean McDermott, who had probably said, under no circumstances are you going to throw a pick this game, son. We have to win this game. And we're just going to win it in the most boring way possible. And they did.
He was like, I think a lot of that for me was a lot of the finding the boring way to win, which I assume what you're referring to there is we ran the ball quite a lot.
Yes.
I think a lot of that was led, I have to say, by the fact that he would, the first quarter especially, he was still playing pretty rubbish. There was still a lot of throws. He's, you know, wide open receivers. He was missing wildly. There was like, I'm sat there thinking, we are at the minute, he's hurting us. There was a huge amount of debate on Twitter. Is this injury impacting him more? There were people calling for Case Keenum to come in.
Yeah.
If it's impacting him that badly, then let's get someone else in. Let's rest him up to get fit Josh back. It seemed like on that drive at the end of the second quarter where we finally found the pass to Diggs, that his first target of the game with 18 seconds left in the first half, that seemed to be the drive that sparked him to life a little bit. But up to that point, he was poor, really poor, and delighted that they found another way to win the game. And if this slight downturn in Josh's performance at the minute means that we've got a slightly more balanced offense, then maybe that's not such a bad thing.
No, agreed. I know we said last week they had to use the run game and use the run game where it counts. And I remember making a note, they got it one. They got Singletary on a second and two. They got James Cook on a third and one when they ran it, and they got it as well. So again, you say, if that means taking the pressure off Josh, almost to reset him again, like he's trying to play too much hero, so just bring it right the way back down to the beginning and just run it a bit and do check downs. He did some very obvious check downs as well. If it means they've perhaps got a way that they can run the ball, brilliant. Just get through the next couple of games, get a couple of guys fit, get Trey back for the Patriots game, get past the Troy.
I mean, you look at it. I mean, I put it out there on Twitter and all that. Obviously, in the second half, Josh and the offense came to life a little bit. There were still issues there. I mean, is it a case that they're pretty much overcomplicating things, or is it a mental issue with Josh, or is Dorsey not calling the right plays or what on this offense? Because we saw on his day it can be great, and obviously now it's struggled a bit. Obviously now we picked up in a run game, but I won't get too excited about that yet, because Cleveland are poor against defending the run. True. And obviously the Lions are going to be poor as well, so give me a couple of good teams against the run. And if we're like we were against Cleveland, then I would say the run game has developed on there. But is there anything on this offense that really has stuttered. Let's put it that way.
I don't know what wants to, I don't want to come in first, but there was actually last week there was a question I was going to ask, and I think we just basically ran out of time. Do we miss 2020 Cole Beasley? Do we miss the guy that was there on third and five, that was there on third and four? Maybe didn't do a huge amount, but somehow always managed to get available and Josh could find him for the four
yes.
or five. And without Beasley, we're having to make do with McKenzie, and they're now trying to get Hines in, and they're now trying to find other guys, and Shakir's obviously is a young guy. But yeah. Without that, there's a big gap.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a part of it. That the Cole Beasley before he went politically crazy.
Yes, his on field antics, not
yeah, yeah.
Less his
off-field that safety blanket that Josh had, that was a massive part of our offensive structure. We don't have that at the minute because Isaiah McKenzie was meant to be the one who stepped up. Jameson Crowder is clearly injured. Isaiah McKenzie was meant to be the one that steps up, but he's a total non-factor in the passing game at the minute.
Yeah.
He's like not a single reception. I don't even know if he was targeted in this game, but he certainly no receptions. That one end around that went for nowhere. Yeah, I think because I mean you look at the people who caught passes in this game. It's Devin Singletary, but he was only two receptions and. Other than that, it's Diggs, Davis, and Knox. They were the only people who caught a pass. The passes that Dawson Knox is catching, they're not the 4, 5, 6 yards down the field type passes. He actually was more yards in this game than any other receiver. I definitely think you're right that we're lacking that true slot option.
So let's put it this way then. The expectations of the fans, us and me included, actually saying that we've got one of the best wide receiver trios in Diggs, Davis and McKenzie, as we're just talking pure wide receivers, may have been a bit optimistic, and that's possibly the one thing now, other than an establishing and actually perfecting that run game, that's really missing to take this offense and this team to another level.
Yeah, you can't knock Diggs. He's been great.
Yeah.
But Davis has had too many drops, and he goes missing too often. And if McKenzie's not available, who do you really have after that? You've only got Knox, and you're in trouble.
I think that Davis for me is a catcher of great passes, but he's not a great pass catcher. Do you know what I mean? He can produce like some like catches that you think, oh, that was like one handed down the sideline, and you think, yeah, brilliant. And you've hauled that in. The simple ones that hit him in the numbers, he drops too often.
Yeah.
I think his career completion percentage on targets is around about like the 50-51%, which is low for an NFL caliber receiver, especially one who you know can make all the catches. He just doesn't too many times. And I think he's still developing. But I think you're right. It's and I don't necessarily think that's why Josh isn't playing very well. I just think that he happens to be going through a downturn in form at the moment, and I still believe he'll get that back. He's the closest I've ever seen in the modern era to like a kind of like that 90s Brett Favre style
corner.
He's a gunslinger. And he's a hero ball and type guy. And Brett Favre was the kind of quarterback that would go through periods like this. He would have games where he threw more interceptions than he should be, where he was missing open receivers. Josh is going through that at the minute. And whether McKenzie's going to catch passes or whether Davis is going to drop passes, if Allen's throwing it 4 yards over their head, they don't stand a chance. And that's kind of what he's doing at the minute. Second half, he was better. And that was a relief based on what we've seen the last 2 weeks. The fact that we didn't completely drop off, and we were still sloppy, especially, you know, we had a lot of, we didn't have many punts, but too many field goals.
Yeah.
So it was by no means perfect, but at least we didn't find a way to throw it away.
It's the points left on the board, which I think
Yeah.
With them, I say there's probably the issue here. I mean, that again, that's the buck with that, you could say, lies with the offense as a whole, actually not executing the plays that Dorsey is actually given. But we could also be the buck could be lied at Dorsey and seemingly get into a rut and having trouble changing. And the one thing, I mean, if anyone does read The Athletic and what Joe Buscaglia actually writes when he does his observations, he kind of makes an interesting point about the personnel formation. The Bills, and it's under Dable, we always used to play the 11 personnel.
Yep.
But when we've actually had personnel that has an extra tight end or a fullback, we've actually done a lot better, especially against Cleveland. We actually averaged 6.7 yards per play when we had an extra tight end, fullback, or even offensive lineman in the case of Bobby Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and other than the sack Allen took at the end to actually run the clock down, if he had just thrown that away, we would have averaged 6.9 yards per play. All the other plays with the 11 personnel, or with two running backs, two receivers, however you want to do that 11 personnel, the Bills would be averaging about 5.5 yards per play. So I think in a way that the success and thing will lie on Dorsey, and it's hopefully now he's actually seen that when you simplify the offense and actually mix up the personnel, I think you're starting to get a newfound confidence and hopefully get this offense shaking again. And to say that run game was the best I've seen a run game in a while, but I'm taken away from the fact that it is a pretty shocking Browns run defense against us.
Yeah. It was nice to see it, and great. And James Cook was nice. Yeah. A bit of a breakout game, and good for him. But yeah, I think you're right. I think we need to see it against one of the better defenses. The Browns, as you saw the week before, for them when they were they were up against the Dolphins the week before, they couldn't stop a damn thing. What we need to do is see that type of performance against someone like a Patriots who we've got coming up very soon, who know full well how to stop a run game.
Yeah. I mean, let's turn it on to the other side before we preview the Lions game in Detroit again. I just don't understand how we've gone from the last two games against Jones and against Delvin Cook, giving up those big plays and giving up a lot of yards, and yet we held the leading rusher and leading touchdown scorer on at running back in Nick Chubb to only 19 rush yards. What? I'm there thinking, what the hell is going on? They've gone from that to that in literally a space of less than a week, or just under a week.
There's kind of a spine of the run defense team that sort of starts with kind of Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver and runs through Matt Milano and latterly Jordan Poyer, with a little bit of Tremaine Edmonds as well. And I'm not knocking Tremaine. I think he's been brilliant. But I think you have to have three of those four players in at least to get your run defense to work. And if you don't have it, if you don't have Poyer and you're missing one of your linebackers, then I think you're in trouble. And I think we got most of them back. We didn't get Tremaine, but we had Milano, we had Daquan Jones, and we had Jordan Poyer. And I think
how good was Matt Milano?
I've got the stats here. I just wanted to read them out. 12 tackles, one sack, three tackles for loss, and one fumble recovery. He was absolutely, he was like two players. He was on
very nearly two interceptions as well.
Yeah.
Just outstanding. Finally, feels like finally he's getting the kind of the national recognition that the Bills fans have known he deserves for a long time. Is every year his play has elevated again. And he is, without a shadow of a doubt, this season one of the best linebackers in the league.
Yeah.
Yes. No, he absolutely he absolutely is. He's one of the most affordable as well, given like the kind of contract that he's on as well.
Yeah.
And you just hope, like, look after your hamstrings, look after your oblique. Like, just stay fit. Because if he can stay with us and we can keep the players fit till the end of the season, we're always gonna have a shot.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, how good also is it to, as we mentioned, to have Poyer back on there? It's really shored up that secondary. Obviously, we had no Elam, no obviously Trey White, no or Jackson hit and miss at the moment this year.
Dane Jackson. I felt like they were picking on Dane Jackson a lot, and they were getting success out of it.
Is it a case he's going backwards, or is it just a case that
he goes backwards a lot? He doesn't turn his head around an awful lot when the ball's coming that way. So yeah,
we desperately
need our cornerbacks back and fit. Like no doubt about it. I think that what Benford has done has been good, and Taron Johnson has been fine. We need Trey White and we need Kaiir Elam fit. Like as quickly as we possibly can do that. There is a different team. They, wherever Dane Jackson was, it felt like they were picking on him in this game.
Yeah, and I think that's it. I mean, it's the one thing that struggles me. I mean, obviously we talked about Trey and obviously how they're still saying he's day to day. Is it mental? Is he not 100% ready to go on there? But you've got to feel that at least these cornerbacks are, some of them time are like just dropping off, actually being completely lost without cause, and sometimes being the best thing since sliced bread. That's with or without Poyer, and backing them up. Because even when Poyer's out, then we've had a couple of good games at cornerback. But is it a case that the expectation on Dane Jackson at the moment is really hitting on him a bit harder? The fact that last year he had Levi Wallace on the other side and then Trey until obviously his injury. Now, come back, Jackson is now the de facto number one until Trey comes back, and you've got two rookies on the opposite side of him. Both have actually done quite well, especially in the case of Benford, but you've got Jackson trying to be the leader of those, of that cornerback unit. Do you think that kind of getting to him and actually bring him down, hence why we'll need Trey back and maybe even try and get Xavier Rhodes a little bit more involved for that veteran presence?
From what I've seen of Xavier Rhodes, he seems, from what I've heard, he was a decent player 2 or 3 years ago, but perhaps he's not quite the player that he once was. I wonder if we're maybe seeing the Dane Jackson ceiling, because he was a sixth round pick. Okay, sometimes sixth round picks, they go, but maybe that is it. Maybe that is his limit, and he's fine as a CB2, and he's fine in a supportive role. But putting a supportive cornerback into it is too much. And I think, as Mark was just saying, let's try and get Elam back again. Don't want to put too much on the rookie. Let's get Trey White back. It just feels like there's an awful lot of pressure on that position at the moment, with an awful lot of injuries. And maybe those cracks are starting to become more evident.
And it's the plays that are coming off the back of it. I don't think if it's Kaiir Elam or Trey White, I don't think, you would get Justin Jefferson making that play against the Vikings. I don't think you see Amari Cooper having the game he had against some of our starting corners. It's that we're massively in need there.
Yeah. And the one thing I think, and we'll talk about this in a second when we go on to the preview, is giving a bit of credit to Shaq Lawson stepping up with Russo out, actually having a few good plays, and obviously Hines, Naeem Hines on special teams,
yep,
really taken to that returner role. We just need to get him out a bit more on the offense, whether it is just drip feeding him stuff here and there and actually wanted to focus on special teams or not. It's kind of weird how we're still not getting him out there onto the field a lot more in both the run and the pass game.
The thing is, if James Cook is doing it, then, I mean, they're similar. So if Cookie's playing fine, then I'm all right with it, and I'm fine to keep a player fresh for the return game and special teams. If James Cook isn't, give it to whoever's got the hot hands. You know, Hines is still new to the scheme. He's got to get used to it. That's fine. It'd be great to see him on a couple more plays, but he didn't need to in this game.
Hmm. Yeah. So let's go on. I mean, part two on Thursday. Nice early one for us. So
yeah,
most people just be getting home, getting the food ready, getting the snacks ready. Against the Lions.
I'm worried about this one, Matt. I'm not going to lie. This one worries me.
Really?
3 wins in a row, the Lions. I love watching Detroit at the minute. I think they, going into the season, as I think we spoke about, they were one of those teams that were going to score a lot of points. They've got a lot of weapons. They've got a lot of exciting offensive players, but defensively, they weren't going to be able to stop anybody. They started off the season exactly like that. That's who they were. Ridiculous games, loads of points, fine. Then they went through that blip where offensively, I think they got shut out by somebody. Might have been against New England, possibly. It was the Patriots in week five. They had a bit of a blip where they came away from that not playing well. Then all of a sudden they lost just to the Dolphins, but began to find their offensive range. Since then, wins against the Packers, Bears, and now the Giants, and a comfortable win against the Giants as well.
This
much maligned run defense managed to stop the number one rusher in the NFL at the minute. So it is going to be more of a test than we think. And they're just playing well at the minute. We're coming into their house at a time when they are playing extremely good football at the moment. And this is much more of a test than I thought, certainly a month ago, it was going to be.
Yeah, it could have shootout all over. It could be a real Thanksgiving shootout, couldn't it? You think, because the Lions have played this Thanksgiving game for ages, and certainly the last 10 or 15 years have been pretty bad. And I think I don't have the record in front of me, but I don't think they've won one for a while.
No.
I watched last year's one in New Orleans before the Bills game, and they did everything they could to lose that game. They did absolutely everything. They got fined, I think, for calling two timeouts one after the other, which you're not allowed to do. And I think it was one of the first time in games, first time in history where I've ever seen. I've always wondered what would ever happen if you called two timeouts, and you can't. They got penalised for it, which knocks them out of field goal range. It's the first time that it's an interesting kind of game for them this time on the big stage. Are they going to rise to it? I think it could be exciting. I think this could be a 42-35, 34 kind of game. This could be a lot of fun.
I give you that the last few weeks they have improved quite a bit. Obviously, one of the wins was against the Packers, and we know they've been going downhill and all that. I mean, the one thing that still keeps me feeling that it's going to be a Bills win, and hopefully a quite comfortable one, is just the fact that, as a stat-wise, they're in the bottom five in pass defense. They are bottom three in run defense. And the fact that the Bills have warmed up, let's say, from Sunday, playing in the dome, playing where they're going to play on Thursday. And we know what Josh is like and what this Bills team are like on Thanksgiving, the last few Thanksgiving games. we were, what, 3-4-0, something like that in the last few games.
Yep.
And in domes. He's 5-0 in domes now as well, isn't he?
And Thanksgiving, I think, what, he's unbeaten in Thanksgiving games.
I'll take your point about the, you know, the third bottom in run defence and like not doing very well. But that takes into account the season as a whole. And I think that, you know, they've gone through defensively. They've certainly improved, especially in the last month. They're looking better. I'd be interesting to see what the stats were and where they featured in the NFL rankings if you just take into account the last three games and where we feature. Because I bet that you won't be seeing the same stats. They're playing better than us at the minute. And if we'll still go into the game as heavy favourites purely because it's this season's Bills versus this season's Lions. But the last 3 weeks, they are playing better than we are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, don't get me wrong. As I say, the Lions, they've got guys that can cause issues. I mean, Jameson Williams has been activated. Whether he comes out or not is another question for the game. But I still feel when we say the issue, they've improved a little bit on there. Yes, they held Barkley to one of his lowest scores.
22 yards.
And yet the week before against the Bears, they gave up 147 yards to Justin Fields, 57 yards to Khalil Herbert, against the Packers.
I think the Fields is a funny one because he's this season's, you know, he's kind of like Lamar Jackson light, isn't he? And that the guy is special. He's just more elusive than anyone else on the field. Still won the game, by the way. They found a way to get it done. The two running backs, they pretty much stopped.
Yeah.
In Herbert and Montgomery. Look, I still think we'll win the game. I still think we're favourites for the game. But if you'd have asked me 5-6 weeks ago what the score was going to be, I would have said that this was going to be like 49-0. Now, I think that the way that the two teams are playing and the trajectory the two teams are on, this is a one-score game, I think.
I'll say that. I mean, let's say I'm happy to prove wrong if I feel it's going to be, if some people feel it's going to be, including me, that it will be a good game. It will be a high-scoring game, and I think a 2-3 score win at the end of it on there. It's just, I want to believe what the stats say. I know. I remember Alex when he was doing that with me. He would always look at the stats and actually say the stats are there. Stats are there. This is where they are.
But that assumes that teams stay the same the entire season.
Yeah,
and like that doesn't take into account that teams. You know, someone goes and gives up 300 yards rushing in a game, that skews your entire stats for weeks on end. That's why I think I'd be interested to see what the stats were just for the last 3-4 weeks, because that's the team we're playing. We're not playing the Lions, their Lions defense from week one, where Aiden Hutchinson was still bedding in. He looks like a different player now than he was in week one and week two when he's finding his way. That's a much better team now. You know, they've gone through their blip. They're working out how to get Swift and Williams working together. Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like a proper weapon, like a proper number one wide receiver threat. He's going to be the one that, if it's Dane Jackson again, is going to be stood on him the entire game and targeting him and having his way with him. We're going to need a proper defensive performance. I still think we can score loads of points against them. If Josh is playing even, you know, like 80%, 70% Josh, we should score a lot of points on them. The Giants were mistake ridden in their performance. And they'll do that because I think their record was a false record anyway.
I mean,
defensively, it's not going to be easy.
I mean, the one thing I will say, I mean, obviously, I don't know what they're going to be without. The Lions are going to be without Jeff Okuda, which is going to be one good thing. Apparently, they pretty much ruled him out on there.
Yeah.
Is there really anyone in that secondary for the Lions that really are going to shut out this Josh Allen-led offense if we get the Josh Allen from before the injury?
They don't have any names, really. I think Deshaun Elliott, the safety, is a good player. But no, you're right. They don't have, like, if you're playing Madden, they'd not have anyone that was massively highly rated, but especially with the Cooter out. But they're improved. They are improved, and we will have to play well offensively still to get the points that we think we should be able to get.
So where do you then see it being the Bills they need to improve on for this game?
I wonder how the Bills are going to approach this game, because I think, if this was a Madden game, you'd think, well, Josh will make a few throws to Diggs and Davis and game over and they should win. Yep. But I wonder if, thinking about the schedule, thinking about they've only just got in and got out of Detroit on the Sunday, they've got back Sunday night, you know, and all of that, they'll have almost no preparation time and no practice time. Who Edmonds is not going to make it. Let's hope Poyer's okay and he got through the game. Let's hope Josh is okay, he's got through the game. I don't think Rousseau's going to be back. I think they're probably going to be roughly as they were on Sunday and just hoping to stagger through. So I wonder if they come at it with a slightly more conservative mindset and they basically try and repeat what they did against the Browns, and they just thought, let's just run the ball, let's manage it, let's don't turn the ball over. We know how good we are on offense. Chew up the clock. Make the Lions play brilliantly to beat us and trust our defense and trust that we'll just pick up enough points and just try and get another 31-23, something like that, and then get a week and then really come at it because we've got three AFC East games coming up. So don't try and blow the doors off. Just do enough to win, which is basically what they did against the Browns.
They're sort of similar when you think about it. They're sort of similar teams, aren't they? A little bit, you know, like kind of good two-punch rushing attack, one really, really strong receiver weapon, quarterback that's sort of much maligned and questionable, certainly not a superstar, and is mistake prone.
They're kind of all right on their day. If they lock in, they give them the right script and they'll make the right throws, they can be serviceable.
Yeah, but and both defensively questionable. So I think actually, you know, game plan probably... I think you take what they give you. You take what's working on the day. If Josh comes out in the first quarter and lights it up, then you go with it. I still enjoy seeing the slightly more balanced attack. And if we're able to take advantage of what is supposedly, stats will tell you, a weak rushing defense, then great. If they play like they played against the Giants, then it's going to be on Josh, and Josh is going to have to start not overthrowing people and actually hitting his open target.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the injury report, they brought, okay, they only had a walkthrough, so wasn't anything too taxing on there. The only people that did not practice was Edmonds with groin heel, Epinesa, Mitch Morse, and Greg Rousseau. So Kyrie Lamb was full practice. Josh is limited, but I've not seen anything in that elbow that is really going to hold him back. It might just be more mental, all that. But Elam's back. Poyer's a full participant. Hamlin is full, and he's someone that's actually come up leaps and bounds. And I think with him, Poyer, we've got that safety duo to... We've even got that heir apparent to make a hide on there. Okay. So we've got the injuries down. Obviously, Edmonds will be a big miss, but hopefully
we're getting Mitch Morse or at least functional for Thursday.
Yeah but hopefully we'll have AJ Klein. Hopefully, will be active. Maybe they'll give him a few plays, and he's someone that knows the playbook and actually can step in. And when he stepped in last year, he actually did well. He was actually...
He had a few big plays, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'm more... For this defense, I think it's more stable. I think it's getting better. Yeah, we're going to miss Rousseau. Probably going to miss Edmonds. But we've seen what this defensive line can do and how they like to rotate and what Klein's done in the past. I feel we'll be all right on that. It's just this offense and just figuring out the best package, really. If we can ride a hot hand, if we can get this offense and this offensive line doing the pin and pull and getting them out there, then I'd say we'll be quite adept and actually better equipped to actually get back to being as we were, the top point scorers in the league, the most yards per game and all that, which we've slipped a bit thanks to injuries and Josh Allen playing hero football rather than the sensible football he's played last week and before.
Yeah, another game where Singletary and Kirk are sort of sharing the load, and another game full of their confidence. Another game with Hines could stand us in particularly good stead going down this sort of hat-trick of AFC East games as well. If we can at least establish we have something, albeit against slightly inferior run defense, there's nothing like confidence. And you saw a couple of those plays from James Cook. It looked like he'd really found a kind of spark. And Singletary's been good. If they can just keep working with that, so at least we've got that extra dimension. Because along with telling Josh not to play hero ball, knowing that he doesn't have to because he has other options, could set us really well. But I think really within this, you know, quick turnaround of games with all the snow fun and games as well, I think just getting the win and then getting out healthy in a solid week before playing the Patriots is the priority.
And having the threat of the run makes a massive difference, yeah. Josh, doesn't it? Just
well, you get a play action then, don't you?
Yeah. The fact that he's the fact that people are aware around the league that actually the Bills can run the ball, shock horror, it like makes it a lot more of a credible threat for things like play action, just to give Josh that opportunity to roll out to his right and do what he does so well. We haven't seen it as much in the last two or three weeks. It's certainly in second halves. This was scrappy. I still, you know, I'd like to think that one game, it's just all going to click again, and everyone will be like, okay, there we go. There's the offense. That's back. That's what you want. Hopefully, in this game. No, yeah, I almost would rather like we just scrape through against the Lions and then we blow away the Patriots, though, just because, you know.
It would be very satisfying.
That would be fine. I'd be fine with that.
I mean, okay, to wrap it up, let's go with a final comment, and so it could be about the game or anything like that, and your score prediction for the game.
So it could be a shootout. I think I'm actually going to slightly lowball this one. I'm going to say 27-16 Bills. I think there'll be a few field goals. There'll be a few stops, but there'll be a lot of movement between the 20s. And I think there's going to be another rushing touchdown. I think they'll have more rushing touchdowns than passing touchdowns. That's my prediction. 27-16 Bills.
I'd like to see, although, you know, we didn't talk about him much, but massive props to Tyler Bass and how like wonderfully consistent he has been from seemingly just about any range on the field. Fantastic. I'd like to see slightly less of him. But I'm still not convinced that the offense is clicking. Still don't think it's going to on this game, but hopefully we will still have enough. I'm saying 34-27 Buffalo.
34-27. I think we're back. I think this offense will take advantage. I think, what did they give up? They didn't give up much, did they, in the way of sacks and and pressures against Cleveland, and they've got obviously got Garrett, they've got Clowney, and all that. Will they give up a couple of maybe one sack, two sacks tops, or something like that with them? I could see. I can't see anything that really troubles us other than Hutchinson, who I'd say as a second, was he second draft, a second overall?
Second overall, yeah.
For that guy in the first round to actually get some pressure, I think we can handle it. I mean, what was it? Only Myles Garrett only had one sack, and an interior defensive lineman had another sack on there. I can see this offensive line actually now starting to build up and take advantage of, as the stats say, a piss poor Detroit game, Detroit defense, regardless of the last three games and all that. And the fact that Josh is 7-1 in domes with 117 what passer rating. So we've got a guy who can play, and even if he is, or the offense is a shadow of what it was against Cleveland, I feel that we have enough on this team to actually rack up a 30 plus score. So I'm going 31. I'm gonna go 31-17.
Okay.
I think there's going to be a couple of scores in there. I think, yeah, Detroit will probably get a couple of garbage time points, touchdowns off us. But I think for the majority, I think this defense will hold up and actually cause a lot more issues than most people would expect, and actually try and shut out for the majority up until garbage time this Lions offense. So that's that. I want to do say that obviously, if anyone listening, if you're in London, get down to the Fitzrover Bell on Thursday. They're doing a Thanksgiving menu. Please do send me a message on Twitter at UK underscore Bills, or on Instagram, UK underscore Bills. Let us know if you plan to attend, because we need to get the numbers to the pub. So come join us. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we can feature a bit on Sky Sports, and if we can get the numbers, I will explain all of that in Twitter once I get it confirmed. But let's pack out the bell again. Let's lead the charge, as the Bills always say, and just pack it out. Go up north if you're up there to Junior Jack's. I think they've got loads and loads and loads of wings that are being ordered. I know the guys on the WhatsApp group do push that quite a bit, and just keep following all of us on the socials. And for Mark, Robin, myself, Matt, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
Know anything about heart? You know anything about work? No. Huh?
That's who we are.
Does on three. One, two, three.